We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
You go to the average church nowadays, what are you going to find? You walk in, are you going to find paintings, woodcuts, carvings, maybe some sparse stuff? We're pretty Spartan people, American Christians. We don't like too much art. It seems gaudy to us for some reason. You go over to Europe where Christian art has a history, a real history in Christendom, and you'll find a very different picture, literally picture, of the church and of the Christian faith. We're going to be talking in the next few minutes of the program with Dr. Gene Edward Veith, remembering 16th century artists Lucas Cranach and Albrecht Dürer. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia, and he's author of numerous books, including State of the Arts. Ed, welcome back.
Yeah, good to be with you again.
If Lucas Cranach and Albrecht Dürer were alive today to survey the art such as it is in American Christianity, what do you think they would think about it and say about it?
Well, they would probably wonder, what do these people believe? Do they have nothing to hold on to that's true and beautiful and valuable? They look at the artists who are increasingly turning away from the objective world because that has no meaning. We have to make our own meaning. And so there's art that's random, art that's splattered, art that's all expressive. Whereas they lived in a world that they knew did have meaning, meaning established by God. And the world was seen as God's art, and they emulated what God made and sought to see his presence in the world and in their callings as artists and everything they did. They would think that today there's so much ugliness, so much even among artists. And as for the public, those bare, empty churches, the featureless architecture that we have, they would think that we've lost something very precious. And actually, I guess we have.
Talk about the connection that both of these famous artists, famous in their own right, apart from their connection to the Reformation, but talk about the connection that both of them, Cranach and Dürer, had to Luther and to the Reformation that bears his name.
Well, Cranach was a close personal friend of Luther in Wittenberg. He was Luther and Cranach were the godfathers of each other's children. Cranach was the one who lent Luther money so he could go to Worms to make his great confession. Cranach was the one who helped take in Katie von Bora when she escaped from the nunnery, and he helped arrange her wedding with Luther, and Cranach and his wife were the witnesses to that event. They were close personal friends, and Cranach was the great artist of the Reformation. He painted everyone involved with the Reformation, from not just Luther, as most of our images of Luther come from Cranach, but he was also painted Luther's parents, and he painted Elector Frederick and Philip of Hesse and just about everyone. He also published Luther's Bible. He owned a printing shop, and he's the one who printed Luther's Bible and illustrated it with some of his incredible woodcuts that he really was very innovative and very much pioneering in the sort of the mass production of art. So Cranach was involved with just about everything in Luther's life, and he's a great example of a layman living out his faith in his vocations, his vocation as an artist, his vocation as a businessman, his vocation as a political leader. He was mayor of Wittenberg and was on the town council and supported Luther all through that and the Reformation. And it's as an artist that he's most known and most important, but he really illustrates just that power of living out your faith in your calling. That's why we named the Cranach Institute after him, which looks at Christianity and culture from a Lutheran perspective. That's why I have my blog named after him, the Cranach blog. And one of the things we keep coming back to is vocation. And he's just a very important example of what a layman can do who's been freed by the gospel and who lives that out in every part of life.
What about Albrecht Dürer, who may be, at least I think in secular circles and art inquiry, probably more famous, more well-known mm-hmm. than Cranach?
Well, right. Dürer was very innovative. He was a German artist in Nuremberg primarily, and he brought a lot of the Italian perspective and things into the art of Northern Europe. But he is very innovative. He pioneered highly realistic writing or painting. He painted landscapes, one of the very first to do that. And he's just a very innovative and very great artist. But we have a number of letters of his where he talks about Luther and how he talks about how Luther's gospel brought him through his struggles in his own life. We have him, you know, praying for Luther, you know, worried about Luther being persecuted. Letters where he's identifying with them. They call us all heretics, you know, who believe in the gospel. And so Dürer died fairly early. He died in 1528 on April 6, which is why we set aside this particular day for these Lutheran artists fairly early in the Reformation, but he was someone who was personally affected and brought to the gospel thanks to Luther's Reformation.
One thing that intrigues me about that time, be it these Reformation artists or on the side of Rome, obviously replete with the visual arts. I mean, the Roman Church was a patron of the visual arts like none other, and we certainly wouldn't fault them for that. But there seemed to be a notion at the time that especially the visual arts and would be for the church kind of a proper dressing, not just window dressing, but a proper dressing for any proper church. It needed to be visually, as theologically clear as anything that would be taught or preached there. Why was this not only considered a luxury, but a necessity for the church?
Well, the whole church was a visual image of Christ and the gospel. The architecture of the churches were shaped like crosses if you look at them from above. And the meaning is that, you know, God's people are gathering together in the cross. Every detail of it, the altars, the focus, the windows that let in light, but they're also inscribed with pictures from Scripture, pictures of Christ. This was a controversy, of course, with the more radical Reformed elements worrying about, idolatry in church and thinking there shouldn't be any images. Luther came out of hiding at the risk of his life from the castle of Wartburg to put down the iconoclastic riots. People were smashing stained glass windows and burning crucifixes, and that brought Luther out. And he addressed that, and he said, yeah, sometimes the medieval church was venerating certain, you know, images of saints and relics and so on. We're going way too far. But art that points to Christ, he said, should be used. Art that points to Scripture should be used and can be a very effective way of impressing upon people the reality of the great accounts in Scripture. So the Lutheran churches, in particular, would be decorated with very Christocentric art. But it's interesting that art also went even beyond the church, and this is one of the great liberating elements that the Reformation brought even to art. And Cranach demonstrates that. Early reformer said that artists shouldn't be portraying pictures of God made by human hands. Rather, they should paint images of God made by God's hands. In other words, human beings. The portrait became a major art form that came out of the Reformation and existed almost before the Reformation. You very seldom had artists like this. And Cranach is the great master of the portrait, of showing the human face in all of its character, not just what it looks like, but they have a sense of character and complexity and dignity, in the sense that, this person was made in the image of God, is a sinner, no doubt, and yet loved by God. And you could tell that Cranach loved the people he was painting. In his vocation as an artist, he was loving and serving his neighbor in the way he approached the subject that he was painting. And so Cranach was a master of church art, but also art that just broke even out of the church into people's homes.
Well, let's take a break right there. When we come back, I want to talk about that art in the home as well, and continuing talking about these two great 16th century Reformation artists, Lucas Cranach and Albrecht Dürer, with Dr. Gene Edward Veith. He's provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia, and author of numerous books, including State of the Arts. When we come back, I also want to conclude our conversation with him by talking a bit about renewing, especially the visual arts, and those arts that are not just art for art's sake or art appreciation, but for the sake of God's Word in the church. Stay tuned. Here are a few of the features of the new Lutheran Study Bible from Concordia Publishing House. Study notes, application notes, and prayers from a uniquely Lutheran perspective. 120 maps, charts, and diagrams. You'll find law and gospel application notes, center column references, and quotes from the Church Fathers. Check out the Lutheran Study Bible at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or pre-order the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois, is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you. issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Gene Edward Veith is our guest, provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. We're remembering on this day 16th century artists Lucas Cranach and Albrecht Dürer, strongly associated with Luther and his Reformation. Dr. Veith, before we went to the break, you were talking about art in the home as well. Pick up where you left off.
Well, Dürer was actually one of the first ones to make art that was mass-producible. The printing press had just been invented, and Dürer, one of his great innovations was to take a block of wood and to carve in it and then print off copies of art. And for the first time, art could be owned by people, just like they could own a Bible and books, finally. They could own pictures, and even peasant hovels would often have woodcuts of a scene from Scripture or a picture of Christ. The Praying Hands, for example, is one of Dürer's most famous works. But and then Cranach took the next step. He added color to prints, and so he took it again. Again, these art became mass medium, not just something that, you know, the kings and the lords would have in their palace, or that even might be in church. But art itself became opened up to ordinary people. And their use of the medium, the mass medium, really reminds me of, you know, modern mass media, like, you know, from the internet and radio and many other forms. They were right at the heart of that innovation.
This is a subject that is, I think, sometimes difficult to grasp for people, the role of art, whatever kind of arts we're talking about, in the life of the church. And you've said something before in this conversation that I think needs to be upheld, along with another grand truth. You've said that, you know, the artist in his vocation doesn't necessarily need to be drawing pictures of Jesus all the live long day.
That's right.
He can do art and serve his neighbor, whatever kind of arts they may be, that have really nothing in their explicit expression about them having to do with the Christian faith. But that the church should employ these things not merely for art's sake, or that appreciation, but in service of the word. Talk about that.
Well, that's right. And again, these artists exemplify that. Dürer was most famous for inventing the landscape, for just showing pictures of nature. No one had really done that before. And Cranach had such a range. He did profoundly religious works, but he also did mythological works and portraits and things of people working and just the whole range, funny pictures and tragic pictures and the whole range of expression. And all of that, I think, came out of his talent and his sense for beauty. You know, there were three absolutes in classic thought: the true, the good, and the beautiful. And all of these were thought ultimately to point back to God. And it's interesting that Christians today reject relativistic views of truth and reject relativistic views of morality, of goodness, but they are often relativists when it comes to beauty, as if any kind of song is appropriate in any given time, as if the style and the form and the complexity and the unity and the objective qualities of the work don't matter. But they do matter when you have a whole kind of biblical sense of life. And art can certainly be used in the service of the word, in church. It can be used just to create something of beauty to enrich someone's someone's life in a small way. That's an important way of loving and serving your neighbor, by creating something beautiful for them. And the point is that the whole range of human experience and human potential is really open to the Christian. And sometimes we shut ourselves off, I think, from things that could really enrich our lives and even enrich our faith.
How do we bring especially the visual arts back into the church in service of the word? I mean, it's going to be culture shock for many who've grown up with very Spartan churches. Hardly a cross can be found in some of them, more Puritan-style churches. How do we reintroduce it to the laity of today, so that not only so that the great contributions of men like Cronick and Durer can be appreciated for the their service to the church, but also so that we can perhaps foster some new artists for the future church.
Yeah, and there are Christian artists working today that are very much worth discovering. The irony is that right now our culture is probably more visually oriented than it has been for a long time. Television and movies and film, these are all visual. Even computers are visually oriented. And the irony is that many churches don't take advantage of that by bringing out their own heritage of visual expression. And I think if churches would do that, they'd be surprised at the impact that could have and how relevant they could become. I think that the recovery of the arts is a matter not just for the church, but for the whole culture, as we said, including the art world. There's something very interesting that happened with an exhibit of Cronach's work. Last year in England, at the Royal Academy, there was the biggest Cronach exhibition ever put together. They collected paintings from all over and things that almost no one had seen before collected together, and the critics were blown away by it. And one of the critics said, Cronach turns out to be an artist for our times, even though he's 500 years old. And I was struck by how these critics were so impressed with his range and his freedom. They talked about pictures that make you laugh, pictures that are horrifying, pictures that are silly, pictures that are erotic, pictures that are so moving and spiritually transfixing. And they commented on, above all, his paintings of Christ. And they were marveling at that. And this range, that what they were seeing in Cronach, told me that what they're responding to really is his freedom, and specifically the freedom he found in the gospel, and the freedom that opened up the whole range of ordinary life and extraordinary and everything in between, and that Cronach's art should be so compelling to, you know, these jaded, sophisticated, secular critics tells me there's something about his faith that could be similarly compelling and liberating and exhilarating when that's presented to modern, jaded, secular people. And I think that's the task of the church, if we can recapture that, recapture our own heritage, your own sensibility, the implications of what we believe, and express that in our different callings. I think that can be a compelling statement to the world, giving them things that they're desperately needing.
With only about 30 seconds here, Dr. Veith, why should the church continue to remember these two great artists, Lucas Cronach, Albrecht Durer, and the other artists who contributed so greatly to the life of the church on a day like this? 30 seconds.
Well, they are part of our heritage. They're ours. We are united with them in their faith. It's the same faith that we have, and we're united with them in the communion of saints and something that goes back 500 years. But what they made lives. It's still living. It still survives. And we can still draw on that and learn on that. A Cronach painting, such as the Weimar altarpiece, is something you can just meditate on. The image of Christ and the blood that comes down on that self-portrait of Lucas Cronach, such a powerful confession of faith. The imagery and symbols, Christ's resurrection, his return, all in one image. And it's something there for us that can enrich our spiritual lives. And we owe a lot to these brothers in the faith from 500 years ago. And the great thing is we can still connect with them.
Dr. Gene Edward Veith is provost and professor of literature at Patrick Henry College in Purcellville, Virginia. He's author of numerous books, including State of the Arts. And when you buy this book online at our website, issuesetc.org, a percentage of your purchase will go to support Issues, etc. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand and look for State of the Arts by Dr. Gene Edward Veith. And thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
We don't appreciate art merely for art's sake, although there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But art for the church, whatever it may be, the visual arts, music, whatever the creativity of the creature finds its way into the expression of the life of the church, is not there for ornamentation or simply to show the world, look, we're sophisticated too, but always and ever in service of the word and the proclamation of that word, the message of the cross of Jesus Christ for sinners. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned for Hour 2.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.